You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Indiana Pacers travel to Philadelphia Monday night in desperate need of a win. In the fourth game of a five-game road trip, the Pacers had lost three in a row, and they hung around with the East's best team for about one quarter before being run off the court in a 130-114 loss. The one bright spot for the Pacers was Edmund Summers, 18 points off the bench. He replaced an injured Jeremy Lamb, taking pretty much all of his minutes. For the starters, the best Pacer was Malcolm Brogdon with 20 points, but it was the combination of the MVP candidate Joel Embiid's 24 and 13. Off the bench, Frank Korkmaz and Shake Milton combined for 45 points to really dominate that part for the Sixers. And for the Pacers, what it meant was a four straight loss, a move to 15 and 18 on the season, and now firmly in the ninth spot in the East. They are in the playoffs because of the playing game, but outside the traditional top eight, they sit one game back, and they will be fighting for their playoff lives, essentially, from here on out. Welcome to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always from the coast of this wonderful show. On today's podcast, I will break down the Pacers' loss to the Sixers, talk about the one bright spot I saw, and then I'll talk about Nate McMillan, what his hiring at the Hawks mean, how he could play a foil for this Pacers team and ruin their playoff chances. But first, I want to start with, is this the rock bottom for the Indiana Pacers? So you take this one of two ways, in the bad way or the positive way. The bad way is, well, they're at rock bottom and, you know, free falling down is not good. But the positive way to take it is, from here on out, things could look better, right? So Wednesday night, they go to Cleveland for the last game of this road trip, in a game they should have a decent shot at winning, in a game that can hopefully break up this losing streak and get them at least back on the positive path. If you look around the Eastern Conference, they're not too far out of first place, out of the four seed. They're very far out of first place, but they're not too far out of the four seed. They're two games behind the Knicks, who are 18 and 17, which means that they are, you know, three, four game win streak from pushing themselves right back up there in the East. I mean, you look at it right now, the four and five seeds are both on 3 and 6 game winning streaks apiece. So that kind of puts and explains where they are. And right this time last week, the Knicks were 15 and 17. So it doesn't take much to get into that home game territory in the Eastern Conference. And they should get the return of somebody, probably Caris LeVert. And this team is definitely one player, if not two players, short. They're for sure one. I mean, they looked fine this year when they were that warm, but had Vic. And they look great all the time, but they looked like they were still, you know, a pretty decent basketball team. Like, almost when they had a healthy team for, what, all of a game and a half, Warren felt like a luxury versus like a needed piece. But they need one guy back on this team to help sort of stem that bench, push one of the Holiday and McDermott to the bench, probably McDermott, and just kind of solidify that starting lineup and let a guy just stagger out, all that stuff. And they should get one of those guys back in the next month or so. Now, I'm not sure it's rock bottom, though. That's the one thing I'm concerned about. So I didn't think they should win in Cleveland. Cleveland is not terrible, but they're not also good, and the Pacers team should be able to beat them with the combination of Brogdon and Sabonis as being maybe two of the best three players. Sexton is somewhere either in between Sabonis and Brogdon or right below, but they should be able to win that game. They come out of the break, though, playing a ton of games on the road. I believe they play 8 of their first 10 out of the break on the road. That's including a West Coast road trip where they play the Lakers, the Sixers, and Nuggets, and they play also two games against Miami and on the road, and they play Milwaukee and Brooklyn, just a brutal schedule. But come March 22nd, they sort of break that spell, and then things start to look better. It's around this time I think we should see Caris LeVert. Hopefully the team hasn't lost 13, 12, whatever in a row. And if they're sitting at, let's say, I don't know, as 18 and 24, 20 and 26, whatever the record would be, they'll have a shot, assuming the East stays so average, right? Assuming the top, let's say the four to the five in the East, that's the goal, being that 4-5 game right now. Assuming one of those 4-5s is around 500, 23 and 23 at the time, let's say. They'll only be three games back, so they should have a shot, because at that point, they kind of start to get healthier. You start to see them, it's going to lighten up, right? It's Detroit's, it's Washington's, it's some San Antonio's, Chicago. I mean, it just becomes an easier schedule for this team. The problem is getting to that point is going to be hard. This might be the rock bottom simply because the win in Cleveland, lose Denver, but they'll have won a game before the break at least. Then they'll kind of go back and forth. Maybe they'll go 3-7 the first 10, 4-6. You know, nothing terrible, but nothing great. And this is where it's bottom because they've lost four in a row. This team hasn't really lost. I mean, they've had 2 four-game winning streaks this year. That hasn't happened in a long, long time for this team. So we are close to rock bottom, this Pacer team. I'm not sure we're all the way there yet, but we're getting there. And the question is, can they survive? Because if not, if they can't, if they go on like, you know, let's say they lose 9 of their first 10 plus these 4 plus at Denver, and this team is so far out of the playoffs, it doesn't really matter. There's going to be a discussion about what they should do towards the end of the year, whether it's maybe some version of tanking or resting or whatever, trying to build for next year. But when they made that Vic trade and knew Karras couldn't really come back for at least a month or two, if not longer, they kind of mailed in these 2 months, and this is what happens when you do that. They're just down. They're down too many players. If they had a TJ Warren, they'd be fine. If they had Karras, they'd be fine. But they are one player short from being average, or above average, I guess, and 2 players short from being good. And so this is what happens when you have that situation. But I think we're near the bottom of this team, and hopefully we'll see a really good April, really good May, and kind of a nice little run into the playoffs. I just hope it doesn't come too late is all. All right, let's do this. Let's take one quick break, and then I want to break down tonight's Philadelphia game and talk about Ebnen Sumner's sort of breakout performance. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Theragun. Don't the stress of your daily life weigh on your body? Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me who's definitely not an elite athlete, just trying to make it through your day tension-free is hard enough. But the Theragun can help. Theragun is a handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tensions using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Theragun Gen 4 doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of your pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibrations alone. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, maybe you have an injury, or just the stress of your everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen design makes you feel like you're holding something from the future. Just go to their site right now and check it out. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, and hundreds of thousands of customers. If you go to Theragun right now, you can try it for 30 days starting at only $199. Go to theragun.com/lockedon. That's LOCKEDON right now. Get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's theragun.com/lockedon. theragun.com/lockedon. Today's Locked On Pacers podcast is also brought to you by rockauto.com. rockauto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now. You can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake pads, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your car. Whether you're a classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate and it's unique. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Do You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Today's game was not pretty. It really was not. I thought the Pacers had an outside chance of winning this game. I probably thought they would lose. I definitely thought Lamb not playing helped the team, to be honest. But it didn't really matter. They're bench defense continued to struggle. They gave up 45 bench points to 2 players. In total, the 76ers bench just killed this Pacer team. I mean, they actually managed to hold Joel Embiid in check, per se, right? So he's normally, a 30-point-a-game guy. He had 24. But they let Korkmaz and Milton just kill them all freaking night. In total, I believe the bench had 67 points compared to the Pacers bench, which actually put up a decent amount because of Sumner and Holiday, but the Pacers bench, I think, had 47, so that's a 20-point bench swing. So they weren't even really, I don't think, outplayed by the starters. They were really outplayed by the Sixers bench. Obviously, Embiid had a really nice game kind of just as a distributor. Same with Curry and whatnot. They kind of used Embiid as a hovering point, and then they just found everybody else. But this was just, I mean, this is just another proof the Pacers really aren't on the level of the best teams in the East. I mean, this was just what you'd expect. They got out rebounded, and they really got out 3-point shot. I mean, that's where this game matters the most nowadays, is offensive rebound and 3-point shooting. The Pacers actually won the offensive rebound battle, but lost the total rebounding battle, which is kind of worse. Because they missed more shots, essentially, as part of it. But they took the same amount of shots, so it's not like they were that badly beat, but the amount of shots they missed, they need to get more offensive rebounds to be able to win this game. They do that, and they were outshot by 15% from the three-point line, including 7 total made threes. So that's, like, more than the difference of their score. And that's where the kind of happening this team is, they just really get beat by the three-point line consistently because their two best three-point shooters are stuck starting, which is kind of creates this downhill effect on this whole team, right? McDermott was 1-4 from 3. Holiday, not terrible, 4-8 from 3. That's Justin Holiday, but the rest of the starters were combined 0-8. That's Brogdon, Turner, and Sabonis. So not a great night from those guys. Turner did get a block, so continuing that streak. Good for him. But for the Pacers, really the only bright spot was they really saw what Edmund Sumner could do. Tony and I talked about in yesterday's podcast the need to play him more, especially with Lamb's injury, kind of his opportunity to, and they have to do that tonight. But Sumner is a breath of fresh air for this team in some ways. He is an athletic freak, somebody who's got the speed and this ability, kind of leap ability that you just don't see from any other Pacer player. He plays at a much higher enthusiasm than anybody else. If he can stay healthy, which that's been his trouble in the past, he should play more and more minutes. I think he's just really solid. 14 shots is too many for a guy like him, but he's playing a lot of garbage time minutes, so you kind of get it. But because this game was 16 points, but they outscored the Sixers by 12 points in the fourth quarter alone. So that means it was really a 28-point game heading into that final quarter. So take this game for what it is. They got outscored by 16 in the second and 11 in the third. So that's where this game was pretty much lost in those two quarters. But I think Sumner proved he needs more minutes. And I think he's the one guy they have opportunity to kind of like develop into not a starter, but like a bench, like a really good bench player, somebody who even when everybody returns could still be playing. And then you're deciding to play him or Aaron Holiday is basically the decision, which could be interesting choice. They seem to probably have too many guard between Sumner McConnell and Aaron Holiday at some point, but and if you need to make a trade at some point, Aaron Holiday could be the bait to maybe not to give another maybe give Aaron Holiday a player in a second instead of a player in a first. And the player I'm thinking about is Jeremy Lamb right now, but that's just my kind of quick thought. But yeah, I thought Sumner showed an ability to fight, like find his own shot. So what I mean by that is just going to the rim and kind of not letting anything else dictate what's going on. Just kind of himself come kind of the offensive focal point. And more importantly, he picked the pace up on this team, right? They were playing at a much faster pace with him. And it's something I think him and McConnell can do together really well because McConnell likes to play at a lot of pace as well. So he was the one bright spot of this game. The thing that continues to bother me about this team, frankly, is they just it's just so up and down out of like the combination of kind of rotating bench guys to get, whether it's, Goga had 0 points tonight. McDermott was 4 of 9. McDermott's been, really just struggling of late. I mean, he's below league average in 3-point percentage at this point, 1 of 4 tonight. And some of that is McDermott, teams are kind of playing him differently and whatnot. It's just the level of talent out there with, right? He's playing against starters, not bench guys, and it's just creating a lot of issues for this team. And so the one player who seems to be pretty solid night in, night out is Justin Holiday. But the defense of the starting five at times, I mean, outside of Turner's, ability to basically become a rim protector and force guys around the rim, out of the paint, they can't guard the perimeter very well. I mean, their 3-point shooting defense tonight was just abysmal. Korkmaz killed them over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And they just don't have the perimeter defense right now because they don't have the players. They don't have the TJ Warrens, Caris LeVert, Victor Oladipo's, for example, to guard out in the perimeter. Make no mistake, this game was lost at the 3-point line tonight. At the end of the day, that was the big thing. This game was probably, in real sense, should have been a 20 to 25 point loss if you don't have that fourth quarter run. And this team got outscored by 21 points at 3-point line. That's the game. I mean, they've either got to shoot this crazy good from three, that'll keep them in the game, or they've got to find a way to force teams to be even worse from three, because the Sixers tonight were really good from three, and it's why they, frankly, they were able to win the game. The thing I guess I'm still concerned about, just the overall, I mean, tonight you saw 34 minutes out of Sabonis. I'm concerned about that. At some point, that's got to come home to, you know, the amount of minutes he's playing has to eventually, the payment on that kind of minutes is going to be bad. Is what I mean by that is that, like, my biggest concern right now is this team doesn't lose, like, 11, 12, whatever, but that they get to the point where somebody returns and somebody else gets hurt, whether it's Brogdon, whether it's Sabonis, whether it's Turner, something like that, and it throws them in a loop again. And so, I understand why they have to play Sabonis 34 and Brogdon 29. 29 is actually low for Brogdon, considering, but that helped because it was a blowout tonight. But man, you got to think in a 30-point game or 25-point game, you can maybe play Sabonis 30 minutes. I mean, I know they don't really have the other center on the bench. Goga tonight was just not that good. He just couldn't score, frankly. So I get it, but I don't know. This team is just off, and I think it's just a lack of talent right now that's throwing this team off. They finally, injuries caught up, and they look exhausted, and guys are playing too many minutes in the wrong spots, and teams are kind of understanding how to beat this team every single night, and they're playing, you know, against tougher opponents too. It's just a lot of combination of things this year, but I don't really want to put too much blame. I want to see what seems like when everybody gets back, but it's bad right now. It's just bad. And tonight was an example of the Pacers just not on this kind of top three tier. They've been blown out when the top three teams in the East are completely healthy, which means minus that Philly game from 3 weeks ago, they've been blown out by all three of the top East teams, right? They've been blown out by Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Philadelphia. So they're just not on the level of these teams, unfortunately. So it's not good. It's not bad. It is what it is. You got to kind of move on from it. All right, let's do this. Let's take one more break, and then I want to talk about Nate McMillan, because he's back as the NBA head coach. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you also by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even has you covered things like awards, TV shows, and reality TV. I think you could have bet on the Golden Globes last night, or 2 nights ago. I don't really know who got any of those awards. I didn't really watch. I just had on in the background. They have real-time and updated odds on props and anything you can imagine at BetOnline.ag. They also have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile phone to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline.ag, your online sports book experts. Well, how about that? After signing session with the Pacers to getting fired, Nate Millen then said, I'm not sure I'm going to coach. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Found a job on the staff of Lloyd Pierce as sort of the assistant head coach, number two, whatever you want to call him. And now he's at interim coach with the Hawks again. Or he's back in the NBA again, his third team now from, obviously, Portland, Pacers, now Atlanta. Atlanta has been in a rut. They have lost 7 of their last 10. They are 14-20 after a pretty decent start to the season. The Hawks have sort of hit this tailspin, and now they have an opportunity with McMillan returning as a coach to basically play spoiler to this Pacer team. So they sit right outside the Pacers. I think they're 2 games back of Indiana in terms of record, and they have an opportunity that if they can go on a run, McMillan can turn around, they could literally be the team that knocked the Pacers out of the top 10. So I was a bit, proponent of, like, they needed a new coach, and I understand that, and I don't really go back on that, because I do think having new Nate Bjorkman he's a pretty decent coach, and it's a good move. And when eventually this team kind of, we look back in 2 or 3 years, we'll look back at this kind of 3-month run and be like, well, we only had a bad run too when all his best player could hurt too, right? I think March of 2019. So I don't want to put this on the coaching, but what is kind of obvious from this pitch last year to this year is that McMillan is a good coach. I mean, he's a good regular season coach, right? He has his playoff flaws. He's not perfect. He's not the best. But he's not a bad head coach, and he probably deserves a job in this league. I mean, this team, similarly set up to last year's team, right? I guess you could say they had T.J. Warren last year, and this year they don't. But he had this team last year playing way above its mean, right? We've seen the team's average is, even if Warren is healthy right now, I don't think this team's outside of being maybe 19-17, let's say, or 500. And McMillan had that team really before Brogdon got hurt, playing at like, you know, a top three record in the East that time. So, and I've come to just appreciate McMillan. I think he deserves any opportunity to be a head coach. He is above average. He keeps your team company, makes you play hard. He's very Tom Thibodeau-esque, I think, in that way. And so he deserves a chance to try to become head coach again. We'll see how he does over the next, well, there's probably, they probably have 40, 50 games left. I think 40 games left. So won't get a ton of time, but, you know, he could earn that job. If the Hawks can turn around and make the playoffs, and not even like tops, you know, eight, but just like in that playing game, maybe they win the play-in series, I think, whatever it is this year. I don't even remember what it is. And then they're able to, you know, get a first round against the top team. They could probably keep that job, especially if he kind of turns Trae Young, not around it because Young's not having a bad year, but sort of can connect with Trae Young. And as point guards, they might be able to. But McMillan does have limitations and whatnot, but I'm just happy he's got a chance. And I think it'd be interesting, right? If he could basically knock the Pacers out of their playoff spot, I'm sure he would very much enjoy that after what happened in Indiana. You know, I think it ended in not like the worst way, right? I think he knew that the time was up. I feel bad for him. He never really got a healthy team, right? Sponsored hurt last year in the bubble, so he never played. So he hasn't really gotten his, like, full, healthy Pacer team ever, really, except outside of 2017-18 when the team, like, almost upset the Eastern Conference champions that year in the Cavs. So, you know, I think he deserves some opportunities. Health is an issue with him because he plays guys too many minutes, but I don't know. When it's kind of weird. When you don't have a guy, you start to appreciate him more because you realize that, like, he wasn't that bad. And I think Bjorkren is on McMillan's level, and maybe a chance to be better is because I think he's a little more creative and whatnot. But right now, I mean, obviously, he looks no better than McMillan, but I think we'll give it some time. That's all. But yeah, I'm happy for Nate. I'm excited that he got a job just because I think he did deserve it. And he's, you know, he's just a good coach. I mean, you can't always hit a home run with a coach, but if you hit a bunch of singles or doubles, and he's kind of that kind of coach. He's a solid double, I think, in my opinion. That's all I got for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter @ Locked On Pacers. Me @ Free Madam 5, and co-host Tony's at Teased NBA. Tony will have a show for you tomorrow previewing the Cavs game. He will also have Thursday's show previewing the Denver game. Then you'll catch me on Friday right as the All-Star break begins. We'll talk about, hopefully, two wins over the Cavs and Nuggets, and maybe some All-Star conversation about Sabonis, what we expect out of him on Sunday night's game. You know, we're right around the corner, basically. So there's the break starts March 4th, All-Star game the 7th, season kicks back around on the 12th. So quick turnaround, kind of like this whole, basically last year's been since the bubble started in late July. We've had basically games going constantly, except for maybe like what, for the Pacers, a two-and-a-half-month period between the, you know, end of the regular season or the end of their last playoff loss at the beginning of preseason. So quick turnaround, lots of games. And there'll be more podcasts to do, of course, as there's more games. That's all I got for this show. We'll see you guys tomorrow.